Somebody got to watch Joe, you know. Family Sundays, you got to watch your kids, you know. It's just, no, just kidding. Hey, guys, welcome to the Ridge. My name is Will. And just glad to be here with you guys. Today is our all-family worship Sunday. So glad to have you guys in here. We're going through the book of Acts. If you would turn to Acts chapter 20 and follow along. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12 today. While you're turning, I'm going to pass out a couple things. I need a few volunteers that would read into a microphone for me in a little bit here.
Sutter.
Someone else? Anyone? Steve? Awesome. Do you want one? Go on, Corbin. Yeah, sure. Here, let me give you that one. Do you want to do one? Okay, awesome. So I'll let you guys know when. So thank you for... Okay, you ready? Acts 20.
All right. So after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So Peter, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus.
Nice.
These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days.
Great. Verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. Everyone knows this, right? Will won't stop talking, and it's prolonged. And it feels like midnight, or maybe even 1 p.m., and you're really hungry. So this is what's happening here. Prolonged his speech until midnight. See, it could be worse. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Yeah. You can see where this is going, right, as you're praying, okay, Lord, for today's scripture, what do you want us to talk about, right? Okay, verse 10, but Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms said, do not be alarmed, for his life is in him. And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten it, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak. See, until daybreak, it keeps going. And so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. Good story, right? Okay, so, hey, every week, you know, prayerfully coming before the Lord. What's the application here? I mean, we know there's a story, and there's the literal of what's happening, and then there's the message that God speaks to our heart. So, do you guys know Connor? This is Connor. Everyone, Connor? No. Connor, everyone? No. No? Okay.
Tell us about yourself.
So, Connor likes long walks on the beach.
I was about to say that, man.
And sunsets. Connor is one of our student leaders in the youth group with Joe and Aaron and Josh and Jackie and the whole crew, the whole posse over here, right? So, yeah. And they've even given me a tissue of truth, so I can't say anything today that's not true, so you'd be happy about that. But Connor and I meet together, and we had a conversation this week about this subject, and I asked him to come join me. And I wanted to ask him a few questions. I wanted him to share with you what he shared with me. But first, let's talk about the scripture at hand. Lord, what is it that you want us to do to apply this? Well, first of all, we have this story, right? Paul is getting ready to leave. So it's kind of a farewell conversation and gathering with these people. And it's going on and on, right? It says until midnight. He keeps talking. And they're getting tired. And it says there's many lamps in the room, which, you know, the lamps would have a flame. And so apparently it's getting hot. And he's droning on and on, you know. It's kind of like Sunday morning at the Ridge. Your eyelids start to get heavy. It's almost midnight, you know. Time for sleeping. A youth, Eutychus, begins to get drowsy. He just can't take it anymore. He's sitting in the window, right? So we can use our imagination and say, okay, if it made the point, there's many lamps, it's late. He's probably trying to get a little fresh air, stay awake. He can't do it. His eyes give out, like many of you on Sunday morning. And boof, right? Falls three stories. And Paul runs down there, and it says that you know, death had come upon him. And then Paul says, don't worry. You don't hear Paul praying. You don't hear him saying anything other than, do not be concerned. This boy's life is still in him. And he gets up, and then they go up and they break bread together and have conversations until daybreak, and then Paul leaves. It's quite a story, right? I can't sit still. I got to walk over here, man. But so quite a story, but literally we see what's happening here is there's actually a resurrection from the dead, right? That's actually happening here. It's not just some kind of metaphor. There's argument about whether this young man was dead or he just took a fall and survived this fall miraculously, or did the Holy Spirit through Paul raise him from the dead? And so we're kind of back on our same theme, right? The Holy Spirit's ministry through the early believers and through the early disciples who are surrendered to him. The Holy Spirit's working in a way to make them a witness to all the world. And he's using miraculous things, such as a boy falling three stories and Paul grabbing him and him coming back to life. So we could talk about that. We could talk about the miraculous power of God. We could talk about, you know, his ability, the Holy Spirit's ability to even raise us from the dead. Those are all really true and good statements. We could talk about falling asleep in church. We could talk about, right now, no, we could model that, right? We could get some of the rock climbers to nap and try to fall. We could try to catch them. But we were praying about that, and I asked Connor, I said, let's read through this. I wonder what stands out to you. And I let him know from what I knew about this scripture. You see the name Eutychus? I don't know if it was the boy's actual name. There's a meaning of this name. The meaning of this name is lucky or fortunate. I don't know if you caught this before. Eutychus, the meaning is lucky, right? Lucky. The boy who fell out of the window, lucky, but lived to tell the tale. So we're talking about that. And so, Connor, what did you say as I read that to you? What stood out?
Well, really, it was the whole lucky part. Yeah. Like, why the heck is this guy named Lucky?
right?
Sure, he falls out a window and, you know, it's not super specific if, you know, how everything goes with that. Yeah. But it's the whole luck thing. Is this luck? Or is just misfortune, bad fortune, good fortune, good luck, bad luck?
Right.
Is there anything to do with that? Or is it something else, right?
Yeah, so we had that conversation. I was kind of asking him, well, okay, What about the luck, you know, hits you? Is this good? Is this a bad way to describe what happened? And you were kind of bringing up another point, and it's fun to see God speaking to multiple people, kind of similar things. Because I was so hung up on this luck thing too, that it took precedence in my heart at the time over even the resurrection of the dead. So what were you telling me about being lucky and what's really going on, not luck at all?
Well, we've got this whole thing in our society, like the bad luck and the good luck. Right. Is it luck, though, right? Okay. It's not exactly luck. It's ultimately, God's ultimately in control of all that. Mm-hmm. And he makes systems that work. It's not luck. It's his blessings. It's his stuff that comes into play in all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of the point. And this is praying what I wanted to share with you. That's why we called this sermon, Luck Has Nothing to Do With It. And so I'd ask Connor to come talk about that. Well, so what if it's blessing and not luck? What if it's not unfortunate, but instead it's God working, correcting, and teaching. And so today, I think, is a reminder for us, because we're probably not going to tell you anything you haven't heard before. But we come together to encourage one another, to build each other up. It's one of the purposes of the church. And so we're here today because I want to share this message. Where we're going with this is this idea that it is interesting, even when we would tell the story about a young man, whether his name was Lucky or not. Oh, you remember that kid? What was his name? Oh, Lucky. That dude was Lucky, right? Fortunate. And that may or may not have been his name. However, that tends to be how we look at it. Things are going so bad for me, or I'm really lucky, or... And then we even get on, and then from that, the next thing we talked about is, even if we get to that place of blessing, as you were praying about this and kind of meditating on this, what was God talking to you about blessing and about the way that we see blessing?
Well, so we've got all these great things, right? We've got these chairs to sit in. That's pretty neat.
Right.
So is it about the chairs or the guy who made the chairs, right? The guy who provided materials to make said chairs, all these chairs. The church to make the building, right? So we get this kind of stereotype of things we're taking advantage of. You're like, oh, children in Africa could be using that water. Yeah, this is true. But we get so caught up in the circumstance and the physicality of all these objects, right? That we kind of forget about the real gifts, the real blessings. You know, we get all these church words, faith, love. Things we forget about, we desensitize ourselves from the definition of those. We forget what those mean. We forget about the guy who did all that, and we focus on the physicality.
Yeah, yeah. And then we were having a conversation about, too, that I want you to share with them. So the pitfall, the danger, when we began looking at the physical things that are a blessing, which is interesting because, you know, both of us had said, wow, God even spoke to us in a hot shower. Like, man, isn't the hot shower feel like such a blessing, right? And then he was talking about, you know, man, I see this. If we get caught up on the physical blessing itself, the hot water, then we're seeing things all wrong. Yeah, the hot water is a blessing, but the true blessing is the love of God. The love of God who blesses us. And I know you might be saying, well, this doesn't make sense. The hot water, we do that with a hot water heater. Yeah, but God has given us everything that we need, even the ability to know how to do this. And so every time we enjoy any type of blessing that brings us comfort or joy, it's praise to God is what needs to happen. But so then you were talking about, what's the danger if we get caught up on the physical thing? What ends up happening long term?
Well, so we get these gifts, right? It's kind of like when you get a new toy. It's super fun for this first week. Then eventually you get kind of bored of it, right? So we've taken these gifts that are super awesome and everlasting, and that won't change because God loves us so much, right? So we got all these gifts. We've turned that everlasting gift into this toy that we just kind of get bored of. It's super fun at first, you know, first become a Christian. Like, wow, this is really great. I love all this. All right. But then, you know, we start getting caught up in other things other than those gifts and the meaning of those gifts, right?
Yeah.
So we get this toy. Or toy, and we get kind of bored of it, and that allows the opportunity for something else to take its place, right? And that's kind of where the devil comes into play. He wants to offer us this new toy. It's like, oh, this new thing, here's this sin. It looks really great, right? Sounds so all this fun stuff. You can do all this stuff. It's going to be great, guys. Right, it's all that lie. So when we kind of lose the meaning of that value. Nice words. But we lose the meaning of that gift, and that allows opportunity for this new gift, per se. Not a gift, but ultimately a lie to fill its place. Yeah. We kind of let that happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what we're talking about, that. And so here's a great reminder as we're going through Acts. What Connor's saying, you can see that if we focus on the thing itself, God is good when the hot water is good. When the hot water heater goes out, and you're getting a cold shower, then if you don't realize God's goodness, then you might curse the same God who blessed you, right? And then you want to go to the next thing that gives you comfort. You know, I didn't get the cold shower, so I'll take B or C. And then God becomes this genie where we're constantly rubbing the lamp saying, what good thing are you going to do for me today? Anything else that I'm missing, man, based on that conversation?
Yeah, it's exactly like you said. We've got, you look for this newness, right?
Yeah.
So.
We can be kind of drawn away.
Right. Right.
By the next new thing.
Yeah, we get drawn away by the next new thing. Exactly right. What he's saying.
Because your iPhone from last year is not as good as the iPhone from this year, right?
And then,
yeah, it happens that way, yeah.
So if we lose the value of that gift and the meaning of that, it's getting there.
It's getting there. You're doing great, man. Doing great.
But like you were saying, we kind of forget to see the goodness of God. We just see the goodness of that thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, which, you know, which really kind of hammers home the point. We see all these miraculous things, and we long to see that in our time. If we could only be like the church in Acts. But every one of those miraculous things only pointed to one thing, and that was the goodness and power of God, right? And that's what drew people. God used that to legitimize his disciples, his apostles, in a nation that was hungry for truth, right? And draw them away from their gods, who they went to for the next new thing, and the next new blessing, and the next new feel-good. So, hey, man, do you want to grab that candy? Here, give him a little hand right now. He's not done. So what happens here is we're dealing with the appearance of randomness, right? Appearance of randomness is what's going on. So what Connor has here is why not give a little candy, right? To starting with the kids on to the big kids. To keep, you know, distracted and sugared up. We don't want no Eutychuses in here, right? So, but what was happening is if it was random, if three kids fall out of a window and only one survives, right? Is this a random occurrence? Is there a mathematical odd system here? So Connor's going around, he's passing out candy, of which there are four varieties of that candy in this box. And so at random, apparently these kids are receiving this piece of candy. You guys know Solomon? Remember hearing about him from the Bible? There's a book, Ecclesiastes, and the way that I think about it is I can see at the end of, nearing the end of his life and all the things he observed, he kind of vented often in this book. And one of the things that he noticed was this, and this is Ecclesiastes 9:11. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Okay, in his fancy words, basically the way that I read that, is he's just saying towards the end of his life, man, I've noticed so many things. The person who wins the race isn't always the fastest. In any given sporting event, there are sporting events all throughout the world today, and those who are the best may not win today. Even if they're stronger, even if they're faster, there seems to be other factors at play. Not every battle is won by the strongest military, nor the richest people the most intelligent. Nor you know, favored with those who are the smartest. But it seems that there's just this chance in this randomness, like the candy. So is it random? Because if it is random, if you fall out of the window and you survive, you'd be lucky. If you fall out of the window and you don't survive, you'd be unlucky. Fortunate, unfortunate. But I want to throw a big Bible word at you, and we'll use this a lot, but there's really no way around it. It's sovereignty. And you see the word reign in there. And I like the way it is. This is our God. Our God is a sovereign God. And what I mean by that, especially, hey guys, rock climbers, I know that's a big word, right? What about this supreme power? Is that better? Supreme power, does that make more sense? Youth, that makes more sense, right? Supreme power. He's like in control. He has all the authority, all the influence. This is the truth. This is our God. Who has James 1:17? Ooh, 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 ooh. Bingo. B6. Would you read that for me?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to the change.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. You know, and that's the prayer, and I think that's just stopping a second. Lord, I pray that these scriptures that we're reading out would speak to us at a heart level, at a core level, Lord, to our spirit, that we would know who you are and that we would be reminded with eyes that are renewed to look at the world around of us and look at our circumstances, Jesus. I'm just praying that for the people. So every good gift, guys, the good things that seem to be good fortune, if you're not the strongest, however, you win the battle. If you're not the smartest, but you seem to get favor. If you're not the fastest and you win the race, then we praise God because all the good things, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father. And I almost want to jump past that, but you can't. Sam, I see you, brother. I see your beautiful kids. And the mathematical odds that they made it, that you're holding them, that they're healthy, and then others aren't. Like every good and perfect gift is from above. Eutychus has life and breath, not because he's lucky, because he's loved. You see, it brings us to another point. We've got to consider the will of God. And I want to give this to you as you're looking at the world around you in your life. You see, the will of God, I would like to categorize it in these two kind of portions. There is the active will of God. God's active will is when he causes to happen or prevents something from happening. So there's things that happen where God intercedes. The hand of God is clearly in it. For protection, right? Or to initiate something, whether it's good or bad. You know, you read in Job, I read through that not too long ago, and I thought it was fascinating. There was two big attacks on Job. The first one, when Satan came before God, he's like, man, did you check out my friend Job? Oh yeah, that guy, he just praises you because he's got lots of great stuff. This is Will's paraphrase, okay? You can't get this in publishing. This is just here. He says, yeah, if he didn't have his stuff, he would curse you. And so he said, great. And what he did is his passive will, he said, okay, Lucifer, go ahead. Take his stuff. Right? The things, his family, the blessings. He comes down. It wasn't God that took it, but God permitted it. It was a passive action. Now, the second thing is he goes, where you been? Oh, I've been walking to and fro on the earth. Oh, did you check out my friend Job? Oh yeah, I saw him. I mean, yeah, I took his stuff, but he's still praising you because he's got his health. And if you go back and read this, it's interesting. The second thing is God's like, okay. And it says that God afflicts his health. There's an active move of his will where God initiated this correction, this challenge, whatever you want to call it, this teaching. And so God is at work both in being passive, letting certain things happen, right? Because you see certain things, like he has created systems in place, a system that we call gravity, right? Where if I drop this, unless God intercedes, it's going to hit the floor. True? We've observed this, and so it's God's passive will that lets that hit the ground. He very well could make that float, right? God's passive will would have been to let Eutychus die. His active will was what brought him back to life. Does that make sense, the difference? What about Proverbs 16, verse 33? Who's got that one? Okay. Wesley.
The lot is cast into the lap, but it is every decision is from the Lord.
Awesome. Do you know what casting of a lot is? What would be an equivalent today to the casting of a lot? Flipping a coin. That's a great one. Yeah, right? Rolling a die, right? So what this is saying, like every lot cast, every die rolled, every coin flipped. I mean, you can flip it, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Wow, right? I mean, and you don't want to believe that's true because it seems random, right? There's that word again, random. It's going to be heads, it's going to be tails. On the die, it's going to be 1 to 6, depending on the die that you have, right? Random. No, what the scriptures, if you and I want to be believers who believe what the Bible says is true and the message that God sent, it states here, and you can see all in these verses, that God is so much in control. Now, does that mean to say that God, in his active will, makes the coin land a certain way every time? No, not necessarily, right? I mean, there's things you can try to do to hit it off the wall or flip it around or whatever to manipulate the results. However, it's either God's active or passive will which chooses the head or tails. Then it makes sense, right? When you look at with the 12 disciples, do you remember how they chose the replacement for Judas when he died? They cast lots. And if you believe in randomness instead of the will of God, then that would have been a foolish, foolish thing that God would not have blessed. Do you guys hear that? If they were casting lots, if God wasn't in control of that, and they didn't believe that God would answer them through that, and they believed it was random, that would have been a sin and awful to choose God's next disciple for that. True? Okay, keep going. Genesis 50:20. Who's got that one? Steve.
Thanks, man. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today.
Thank you. So this is from the story. You guys remember, like, Joseph, coat of many colors. Brothers got mad at him. We're going to kill him, and then sold him into slavery. And so this is towards the end when he's in Egypt. He's basically saving the world at the time because of the foresight God's given him. And his brothers are there, and he's like, even you in your sinful hearts, in your selfishness, in your fear, you did things to me that perpetuated evil. But don't worry, because God is so much in control that God used it for good. See, this is powerful. Now God's sovereignty, his control, his supreme power, his rule will even destroy what people try to do to hurt him or you or his purposes. He could stop at nothing and will stop at nothing for his will to be done. Now let's go Proverbs 16:9. Here we go.
9. Their hearts were a human plan, their course, but the Lord established their steps.
Thank you. Yeah, you see that? So like in our hearts, we could even plan what we're doing, but really, you know, God is so much in control that he knows the circumstances. He knows the curveballs. I mean, how many of you could say curveballs is a good phrase to indicate the path of your life so far? Would that be fair? Most people, you know, maybe above the age of 10 could probably already see that would happen. There's things you didn't expect, you didn't see coming that could have surprised you, but these did not surprise God. And Proverbs 21:1. Okay.
Thanks, boy. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will.
Thank you. The king's heart as a stream of water. I mean, you can see that, right? Pharaoh in Egypt, God hardened his heart. Like, he would even move the hearts of men, even kings who had all earthly authority and control. He was in control of even the kings. I mean, we go into another election where we elect officials, and we try to do our due diligence and our duty to vote, but ultimately, God will harden or open the hearts of the leaders of the nation as he sees fit. And ours would be to pray for them, right? That he would get to the kings of our world and turn the rivers of their hearts towards him. Matthew 10:29-31. Here you go. That should be on.
Are not two sparrows sold from a for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from you, Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah. Wow. You guys know who said those words that were written down? Jesus. Hey, good. That's the right answer. And it's the right answer in this situation. But this is a fascinating scripture that speaks to your value, speaks to God's love for you. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? I mean, two sparrows. It's like, these things are so dispensable, you can get two of them for the lowest amount of currency. I mean, we don't have a thing you can buy two for a penny. Even some of you with your stories about when you were a kid, how much you paid bubble gum for. I don't think you got two pieces for a penny. True, right? I don't know. I thought like bazooka bubble gum when it was 3 cents. That was pretty good, but that was one piece, and that was 3 pennies. But you can get two sparrows for 1 penny. And there's a million reasons why those things will die unless you're trying to kill them, then they don't die, right? They're on your house, they're pooping all over that. But not one of them will fall to the ground. Not one of these half penny sparrows would fall to the ground without the Father knowing. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. That's a big deal, right? And then what's the next two words? Fear not. Fear not. So let's go back to this story. And Paul's speaking. And he's telling these people, this is the last time I'll probably see you. I've got to get to Jerusalem. And next week we'll hear more of what he was saying the next morning as he was leaving and then as he's going on to the next place. But he's speaking. He's sharing. And it's getting late. It's warm. And God's in control. He's in control of the words. He's in control of everything. The young man, Eutychus, sitting near the window, getting really tired. He falls 3 stories. And it says his life left him. I mean, I can only assume in my simple mind that means he died. And that would make sense, right? If you fall 3 stories out of a window, that doesn't end too well usually. When Paul goes down and he says, you know, he's just like, oh, don't worry. Don't worry, his life is still in him. And when he grabs him by the back of his head, he gets him to stand up, and then they all head back upstairs. And somehow these people had enough energy to keep talking till morning after that. I guess this woke them up a little bit, right? It's like double Starbucks shot or something right here for that night. You start seeing someone fall out of a window and raise from the dead. But what I'm presenting to you today is maybe it's new, but it's probably a reminder. But even in something which seems to be an accident, right? A guy falls, he falls, he slips. God is in control. And the fact of the matter in this world, if you fall that far and you land the way that he did, you lose your life. This is just, it's medical science, right? Then there's those two like famous words, but God, right? But God, because he is got supreme power, because he's in control, because he has authority, even the things that this world says are true, that doesn't define the end. God does. You see, because Romans 8:28, it's one of my favorite verses, just because in my mind it keeps me going towards like God's will, because it says that, and I'm giving this to you in my words, all things work together for good. Okay, but we can't stop there. God works all the things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. See, I want that. I want the all things work together towards good. Do you? So if I want in that promise, then I need to be working towards his good. I need to be surrendered and submitted to God. And this is really helpful. This is really helpful if that's what you want. If you want to be surrendered and submitted to God, and what we need to do is fear not. Right? Like they said, fear not, because God cares so much even about these little sparrows. Don't you think he loves you so much more? He even knows the number of hairs on your head. And I like to joke about my lack of hairs on my head. They're there. They're small. It's still a large number, right? It's still an impressive feat. And he has to skip, like take a break, you know, while he's counting. So that's probably even harder than for those of you where it's just a straight shot across. He can just keep going. He's got to keep his spot and then catch back up. But this is an impressive feat. And because he loves me so much, then I can live in a way that I don't fear. And so what I need to bring to you today, what I need to exhort to you is this message. You are facing circumstances. You are encountering maybe difficulties and challenges, or you're experiencing tremendous blessing and a lot of joy right now. In both of those situations, we almost have to push through the tendency to think of the physical world. It's like our brother Connor said. We can't just sit here and say, thank you, God, for this thing, but rather, thank you, God, for you. And because of you, I don't have to fear. Because of you, I can wake up each day knowing that no matter what I'm facing, whether it's good or it's bad, God is in control, and this is being worked through his will, whether actively or passively. And the sentence that God gave me to give to you is this: it's not a matter of luck. It's a matter of love. It's not a matter of luck. It's a matter of love. Well, I don't know, Will, you're going to be one of those preachers just preaching about God's love. No, God's love corrects. God's love blesses. God's love curses. Sometimes, like a good parent, God takes your phone away from you, makes you sit in your room for the weekend, and it is the best thing for you. Sometimes you lose relationships to learn lessons or so someone else learns lessons. Sometimes you struggle with health to show you that you're not invincible, but we push through knowing that the Lord is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And instead of trying to fix our circumstances, we fix our eyes on him. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but you need to hear this. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're challenged with right now, please know that God is in control. God did not lose control. He's not being surprised right now. And he will work this for good if you're called according to his purpose. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask the praise team to come back up. I want to pray a little bit, because I think this is just so important that we have a little time where we can each individually speak. And what I want to pray about today, and I want to invite you to do the same, is just pray that God would water this seed. This seed that's being planted here, that this that's going on in me and in you, it's not a matter of good luck or bad luck. It's about God's control and his love. And we want God to change our perspective on these things. And maybe you're going through a really great time. Man, you need to be praising him. But I think we take a little time. We take the application of this truth from the scripture, and we come before God together. Does that make sense? Does that sound no mystery? No manipulation? No secrets? No tricks? Just you and your maker? And together we lift each other up. We encourage one another. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your sovereignty. I thank you for having supreme power. I thank you for your love. I'm blown away by it. And being honest right before you, God, I know that a lot of times I think about fortune and good fortune. We can make ourselves victims. We can get down. We can get depressed. We can say, woe is me. And on the flip side, when things are going so well, we can say, yay is me. Knowing that it'll turn, the circumstance will turn. And we'll say, woe is me again. I believe at the core of who you've made me to be that this is not how we're supposed to live. And so you're unmoved and unchanging and loving and powerful and in control. And so I ask you to just change this in us. Help us to see differently. Transform our mind and our thinking that when things go well, we would give praise to the one who's making it go well. That we would rest our eyes on you, and then when circumstances change, we wouldn't be cursing you, but we'd be praising you all the more. And for everyone out here struggling, for everyone out here who just seems to be facing difficult circumstances and unlucky situations that we might call it, that you would give them peace, that you would speak love to them and peace to them and encouragement to them, that we would draw near to you. That we would know that you're allowing, if not creating, this difficult circumstance. To know that you're either allowing or creating the good circumstances, and that our reaction for both should be to draw really near to you, to do the things that draw near to you, to pray, to be in your presence, to read from the Bible, to be with other people who believe the same, where we can encourage one another. To be with those who love us, that we love. So God, I just want to give a little time that each one of us would come before you, that you would search us, Holy Spirit, and that you would show us where we've been giving too much credit to luck, where we've been either taking for granted the blessings you're giving us, or feeling like a victim because of the difficult circumstances that we're facing. So Lord, just a little time before you, that we would take this truth and that we would repent, that we would tell you, we've been doing this and it's wrong and we're sorry, we turn from this, and show me the truth about this. So we pray, Lord, search us. Show us where our perspective is wrong. Show us where maybe we've been negative and down and feeling sorry for ourselves. maybe where we're proud, we get too confident in our own abilities. And we know that good and bad are temporary. Fortunate, unfortunate, it's temporary. Happiness and sadness are temporary. True joy only comes from you. True joy only comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, God, we take this thing that you've given us, this thing that we're pouting about, whining about, feeling down about, feeling about, a victim about. And we confess to you, Lord, I have been so focused on this. I've taken my eyes away from you. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit who lives in me would give me the power to see through the circumstance to the one who loves me, the one who's in control. Forgive me for focusing on that. Holy Spirit, in me, overcome this. Overcome this. And not by pushing into the circumstance, but pushing in to the one who loves us and who is in control. Presence for a moment here, would you say? And your goodness, God is so good. He loves us, and the difficult, it's not going to last forever, and the good, it may not last forever, but He will last forever, and He will always be with us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of your goodness, the truth of what you're up to. Let us know, Lord, where you're working in our lives, and let us be obedient to do it, to do what you ask, to not do what you tell us not to, to lay down the things you want us to lay down, and to pick up the things that you want us to pick up. All praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus, and to our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.